Genesis 17, beginning reading at verse 1. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty, walk before me and be blameless. I will confirm my covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your numbers. Abram fell face down and God said to him, As for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abram. Your name will be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you very fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you. I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you for the generations to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants after you. The whole land of Canaan, where you are now, an alien, I will give as an everlasting possession to you and your descendants after you, and I will be their God. Then God said to Abraham, As for you, you must keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you, for their generations to come. This is my covenant with you and your descendants after you, the covenant you are to keep. Every male among you shall be circumcised. You are to undergo circumcision, and it will be the sign of the covenant between me and you. For the generations to come, every male among you who is 8 days old must be circumcised, including those born in your household or bought with money from a foreigner, those who are not from your offspring. Whether born in your household or bought with your money, they must be circumcised. My covenant in your flesh is to be an everlasting covenant. Any uncircumcised male who has not been circumcised in the flesh will be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant. God also said to Abraham, As for Sarai, your wife, you are no longer to call her Sarai. Her name shall be Sarah. I will bless her and will surely give you a son by her. I will bless her so that she will be the mother of nations. Kings of peoples will come from her. Abraham fell face down. He laughed and said to himself, Will a son be born to a man 100 years old? Will Sarah bear a child at the age of 90? And Abraham said to God, If only Ishmael might live under your blessing. Then God said, Yes, but your wife Sarah will bear you a son, and you will call him Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his descendants after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard you. I will surely bless him. I will make him fruitful and will greatly increase his numbers. He will be the father of 12 rulers, and I will make him into a great nation. But my covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah will bear to you by this time next year. When he had finished speaking with Abram, God went up from him. On that very day, Abram took his son Ishmael and all those born in his household or bought with his money, every male in his household, and circumcised them as God told him. Abram was 99 years old when he was circumcised, and his son Ishmael was 13. Abraham and his son Ishmael were both circumcised on that same day. And every male in Abraham's household, including those born in his household or bought from a foreigner, was circumcised with him. Thus far the reading of God's Word. May He add His blessing to our consideration of it this morning. Brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, as we open God's Word this morning, as we continue in the book of Genesis, we look at Abraham receiving the covenant. Now, I thought we did this maybe a month or so ago. We have to realize what's going on here. God is reestablishing His covenant. Who had broken His covenant? Abraham. We saw that the last time I was here with that absolute mess with Hagar and all those other things going on here. Well, what's going on? God is reestablishing His covenant with a lawbreaker, with someone who thought he could do it his way. Guess what? There's a lot of comfort for every one of us, right, in those few things to notice here. Because when we sin, when we break God's covenant, He doesn't just walk away from us. God is a gracious God. God is a merciful God. And praise the Lord for that fact. But as we look at this, as God reestablishes His covenant, He provides a sign. Circumcision. Circumcision is the Old Testament symbol of being a member of God's covenant people. In the New Testament, we have baptism. It's the same sign, actually. It just has different external parts to it. It still is a demonstration. It is God placing His name on His people. And so as we look at this passage, we look at God renewing His covenant, giving His covenant sign to Abraham and to his whole family, inclusive of all of His servants as well. And as we look at that, we want to see that God, first of all, brings His covenant promises, verses 1 through 8. Second of all, we look at the covenant sign in 9 through 14, and then, or 9 through 18, I'm sorry, and then in 19 through 27, we see God's covenant people. So, the theme that we want to see is God renews His covenant with His chosen people. Again, is there something better about Abraham that God chose him? Is there something better about Israel? God says, no way. It's because I chose you and made my covenant with you. Is there anything better in us? No. It is only by God's grace that He saves sinners. And every one of us needs to have that in the back of our brain as we live upon this earth. So God renews His covenant with His chosen people. First of all, let's look at God's covenant promises. Verse 1, who is God? The Lord appeared to him. Abram was 99 years old and said to him, I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless. Who is God? Who are the parties involved here? God is reestablishing, re-promising His covenant. Despite Abram's failure in the previous chapter, He says, I am Almighty God. And He has the call of the covenant right there. Walk before me and be blameless. Walk before God's face. Walk not hiding yourself, not doing it your way, but walk before God. And that is His call as well to His people at all times. We are called to walk before God. Not hiding, not saying, well, I'm okay. But walking before God, a merciful God who saves sinners. And He comes with covenant promises. Land, seed, and if we jump to the end of the chapter, Savior. This is a one-sided covenant. What is a covenant, first of all? It's an agreement. At this time in history, we can start talking about the types of covenant that were involved. If we go back a couple of weeks, as we've looked at the covenant, the idea here is to cut a covenant. We remember the animals that were cut apart. And that's a picture of what was supposed to be done to those who would break the covenant, that they might be like those animals, cut up, cut in two. And so we have this covenant made, this agreement. And yet, who walks when we remember back through those animals? Does Abram? No, it isn't. A burning fire pot. And I can't remember the other symbol, but it's God. God swears by Himself, the writer of the Hebrews says. This is a one-sided covenant. This is an awesome thing. God doesn't say, okay, now, here's the list of rules. And if you do all of that, I'm going to save you. What does God say at the beginning of the Ten Commandments? What we call the prologue. I am the Lord your God who has brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. I am God who has saved you. The law was never given to people to save themselves. God says, I am the God who has saved you. Therefore, this is how you live. And the same thing is going on here. Abram does not get a whole list of this is what you all have to do, and I'll save you. God mercifully, God graciously promises, swearing by Himself that He will save His people. He will save sinners. And so He makes this covenant, and He reminds Abram of this covenant. I will multiply you exceedingly, verse 2. And Abram falls on his face before the Lord. He realizes whose presence he's in. And God continues His promises there in verses 4 through 6. Seed, you shall be the father of many nations. Excuse me. His name is changed. No longer Abram, which means exalted father, but now his name is changed to Abraham, father of a multitude. Instead of just being a father and some father, he is the father of many nations. Nations and kings, we're told, are to come from him. And this covenant is established with Abraham, but also with his descendants. Verse 7. And I will establish my covenant between me and you, you and your descendants after you, in their generations. Notice that that's quoted almost verbatim when we have this covenant with Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant and with his descendants after him. Verse 19. And so we have this promise of this covenant. This promise that is, of course, as we've said, a one-sided promise of God's blessing and of eternal life. Promising as well the land in which Abram had been a stranger. Verse 8. I will give to you and to your descendants after you the land in which you are a stranger, all the land of Canaan as an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. And so we have the land, the seed, the Savior, which is promised to us later on, the coming salvation in verse 19. And so we have this promise, covenant promises. And then we look at verses 9 through 18 and we see God's covenant sign. The requirement upon Abram was what? Circumcision. The covenant sign. A divine token of that covenant, of that promise of God. When we think of tokens, you might go to the, I don't think they do this as much anymore, but you go to the laundromat and you get tokens. Like money, perhaps. Our money isn't worth anything, it's just a token of value. Well, we have in the sacrament of circumcision in the Old Testament, and the sacrament of baptism, and the sacrament of the Lord's Supper today, we have the token. We have a symbol of value. We have a symbol of what Christ was going to do. He was going to cleanse, and that looking forward is a cleansing, and looking back through baptism is as well a cleansing. He says, you shall keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you, verses 9 and 10, through their generations. What do you have to do? Have the sign of the covenant. Belief. Not some great and awesome feat. Not some wonderful set of rules. Circumcision. Be a part of God's covenant. And so circumcision is a reminder that they are set apart from the world. We read in verse 11, and you shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskins, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and you. Baptism, the church, circumcision is exclusive from a certain perspective. We don't just let anybody in. Certainly anybody can come in to listen, but they don't become members until they've gone through a specific set of things. And we are set apart by God to that end. Baptism and circumcision are a reminder that we are God's people, set apart to God. Baptism is the fulfillment of circumcision. That we are part of this promise and fulfillment. As John Calvin said, the external accidents are different, but the sign is the same. It is the sign of the covenant, to be a part of God's covenant people. And in fact, we get a little bit of information here. How old were the children to be before they were circumcised? He who is, verse 12, 8 days old among you shall be circumcised. If they're the same thing, circumcision and baptism, then children ought to be baptized, not just adults. And if we think about it, jumping to Acts 2, 38 and 39, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the promises to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. Pretty much excludes this idea that believers' baptism is where it's at. Children were a part of the covenant in the Old Testament, and they are a part of the covenant in the New Testament as well. The promise is to you and to your children. Again, notice promise. That's talking about the covenant. Again, God's covenant is so one-sided that it's called a promise. And again, we have some name changes. Abram has already been changed to Abraham. Now we look at Sarai. Sarai, which means princess, is now changed to Sarah, which means queen or noblewoman. Again, instead of no children, no mention of children, we have the mention of much descendants. And so we have the promise of this child. The promise of a son. We've heard about that previously. And now it is repromised to them despite this mess. And this is at this point laughable from Abraham's perspective at least. He says, I'm 100, she's 90? She's not going to have a kid. And Abraham demonstrates his lack of understanding of what's going on here, by the way. Requests that the son of the bondwoman would be used by God. Oh, that Ishmael might live before you. God had promised a son to Abraham, to Sarah. But Abraham says, Ishmael would do, wouldn't he? After all of that mess that we talked about the last time I was here, it pushes us back to the questions of Galatians 4. Does God bring salvation by the will of man or by the will of God? Of course, salvation comes by the will of God, doesn't it? Not by the will of man, not by any machinations of man. God uses that which is impossible. Remember what Jesus said about the camel in the eye of the needle. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. And we all think of a really big needle at that point, don't we? It's not the idea. I do too, don't get me wrong. Then, for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And what do the disciples say? They get the... Oftentimes, we read Abraham's a little off the mark. Oftentimes, the disciples were a little off the mark. But they get it right away there. Who then can be saved? They realize we're all rich. With man, these things are impossible. But with God, all things are possible. And so when we look at salvation... And sometimes as a pastor, I wonder if I'm not just beating my head against the wall, trying to preach the gospel. Sometimes I wonder, but, you know, we have to realize with God, these things are possible. God saves sinners. God takes dead wood God takes dry bones and makes them live. With man, these things are impossible. With God, all things are possible. And so Abraham has this idea that Ishmael would be the son of the promise. And of course, he's dead wrong. He doesn't have the picture. He doesn't trust God's power and God's abilities. And so God makes it very clear. And sometimes we need that, don't we? We're pretty stupid sometimes. I know I am. So we have laid out before us God's promised family, God's covenant people. God makes this distinction. It's not going to be Ishmael. It is going to be Isaac, the child that God promised all those months and years previously. We have the covenant family laid out before us. And this is very important as we get into this. We have the promise of Sarah's child named Isaac. If you look at the bottom of the page in your Bibles, it tells us what does Isaac's name mean. He laughs. God has fun with these things. This child of the promise, has now been named. And it is going to be forever a reminder to Abraham that he didn't trust God. Just because God is merciful doesn't mean sometimes God doesn't have a laugh while He's doing it. God is very merciful. God is very gracious. And on the other hand, it doesn't just mean that Abraham laughed. It means God laughs at our unbelief. Because despite the fact that we so often are stupid about these things, and I am too, God saves sinners. Even in the middle of our unbelief. Even in the middle of our stupidity. And so God establishes, promises His everlasting covenant with Isaac. And we have then further promises. I've heard your request with regards to Ishmael. We have the promise of a division within the family. Ishmael will receive a blessing, but as we've noted previously, this will be a physical blessing. We're told that he will have 5 rulers come from him. 12 princes, not 5. What am I saying? I will make him a great nation. I will multiply him exceedingly. Verse 21. But my covenant I will establish with Isaac. God chooses whom he will save, with whom he will make his covenant. Whom Sarah shall bear to you at this set time next year. God still puts this off a little bit. It's not 9 months. It's a year later yet. God pushes a little bit on Abraham's laughter. Says, this time next year, this will come about. This isn't going to happen because of what you might be able to do, shall we say, tonight. In God's good time, He works all of these things out. And sometimes He says, even when we think we've waited far too long, she's going to be fully 90. You're going to be fully 100. And God will provide a child, the child of promise. And so God provides in His good time this child. And God then goes up, having finished speaking with Abraham. I have in my notes that God departs from Abraham. I thought about it as I was reviewing. No, God doesn't depart from him, but he goes up from this instance of speaking to him. And so Abraham, having been given the sign of the promise, wastes absolutely no time. All of the men in Abraham's house were circumcised, including Ishmael, the son not of the promise. And this is why I want to spend just a hair of time here. This is important. Because Ishmael would be a covenant breaker. He is a member of the covenant. By definition, as a circumcised child of God. But he's a covenant breaker. He was not obedient. And we have to see the parallel. It sheds light for us on baptism. There are those who are baptized who are not true, who will not at some point show themselves to truly be believers. Those who say to us that is obviously showing that why we ought not do infant baptism have a problem themselves. They don't understand the covenant, but that's a different story. Even if you believe in believer's baptism, there's still a few who fall off the wagon, don't they? We know that. How do we deal with this? The covenant is two-sided. Jesus says it very clearly. If you believe and are baptized, you shall be saved. If you do not believe, you shall be damned. And so, it doesn't cause a problem. Even though there are those who would spend a lot of time beating down and saying, well, you believe in infant baptism, what about those who... It's because they got the symbol wrong. Which direction is the sign of baptism? Which direction is the sign of circumcision? It is God promising us. God saying, believe on me and you shall be saved. It's not us saying to God, I believe. It is God saying, these are the promises. I had it earlier in my sermon, but I want to read it here. Romans 3, verse 1 and 2. What advantage then has the Jew, or what is the profit of circumcision? Much in every way. Chiefly because to them were committed the oracles of God, the very words of God. But what if some did not believe? Will their unbelief make the faithfulness of God without effect? Certainly not. Let God be true and every man a liar. As it is written that you may be justified in your words and may overcome when you are judged. What is the advantage? What are the promises we make in baptism to our children and before God? The promise is that we will read the Scripture to them, teach, train them up in the Word of God. We will pray with and for them. The promise is that this child is going to be different than the world around them because they are going to have the very words of God taught to them. That's the promise. And so we have Abraham. We have circumcision given to them. And we have God blessing the people around him. Notice it wasn't just Ishmael who was circumcised either, was it? All of his household. All of his servants. Those born in his house, those bought from foreigners. We have the same thing in the New Testament, by the way. For example, Acts 16:15. When Lydia was baptized, her whole household was baptized. Sorry, that doesn't just mean all her kids. It means all her servants. And as those who are baptized, those who are children of God, we're not just here to be a blessing to ourselves. We are here to be a blessing to those around us with the wonders of the gospel. Not just for ourselves, as for those who come in, with whom we come in contact every day. And so Abraham receives this promise of the covenant again, having broken God's covenant already. And you and I are members of that same covenant. Of the covenant of salvation by grace through Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 4 demonstrates that to us because Abraham is the prototype for our salvation. And brothers and sisters, as we live upon this earth, we are set aside, set apart to be the children of God in that covenant. We have those promises given to us so greatly, so awesomely. And we have the promise of salvation as a member of God's people. And so God renews that covenant with us as His chosen people. Despite the fact we fail, every one of us does. God is so merciful, God is so gracious to save sinners. God saves us. Despite failures, God saves His people. Amen. Shall we rise? Shall we bow before our God in prayer? And we'll close this prayer together with the Lord's Prayer. Almighty and most gracious God, we come before You as those who have failed so often to keep Your covenant. And yet, we praise You that it is not based on our ability to keep Your covenant, but on Your mercy. We praise You and thank You for that grace so wondrously given to us in Christ Jesus. We thank You for that evidence here as we see Abraham in his failures, yet You come again and again to him, calling him back. And we see the faith that that builds in him. And we pray, O Lord, that You would build our faith, that You would strengthen our faith, and that You would be glorified in us. We thank You for that promise of circumcision, that promise of baptism, which You have made to us. And we pray, O Lord, that we might truly believe, and that by faith, You would give to us the wondrous fruit of eternal life. We pray, O Lord, that out of our lives, then out of that salvation, we might live in thanksgiving to the wondrous Savior who has given Himself in our place. We pray these things through Jesus Christ, praying as He taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.